Good morning, everyone. Good to see you on this fine fall morning. We had what my wife called a hoary frost this morning. It was very white at our house, so we had a heavy freeze and all the flowers are dead, but it was beautiful to look at the leaves turning and go out and see the animals snuggled up this morning. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6 and just verses 1 to 4 this morning. If you'd turn to Ephesians 6 with me, please. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Well, this is a simple, straightforward text before us this morning, simple commands. And as I was studying this, thinking about parents and children, it made me reflect somewhat on my childhood and how I was raised. And as most of you know, I was raised on a hog farm in central Indiana. And when my five brothers and sisters and I were growing up, we were taught the value of hard work. And respect was commanded by my father and mother. We had a healthy fear of our father, especially, and desired to please him. You know, there was always a list of chores for me to do when I'd get home from school, and another list of chores on Saturday that if I could finish, I could go off fishing or hunting or running with my friends. My dad's handwriting was so horrible, as is mine, that I started telling him that I didn't finish the list, Dad, because I couldn't read it. So he started typing my list. It's funny to think back about that old typewriter and the way he used those white correction papers when he'd make a mistake. We loved our mother very much and we wanted to help her on our farm and with the work in the home and to please her, to honor her. This was the way we were raised. And it was our view and understanding of our relationship with our parents. I remember one time my dad had a stack of firewood, a few cords of firewood next to our garage in a gravel parking area. And he told me one day, he said, "I think we'd have more room for cars if we'd stack that wood along the garage. So move that wood today." So I said, "Okay, I'll move the wood." And I moved all that wood and stacked it up against the garage. And the next Saturday, he said, "You know, I've been thinking that wood's not good for that siding being stacked up there like that. Put it back where it was." So I put it back where it was because I never questioned my father. He used to say, "Why don't you have your friends come over on Saturday and help you get your work done, then you can go fishing sooner." My friends seldom came around, except for the good ones. I had a friend in high school. Both of his parents worked in the General Motors factory, and they were quite wealthy, and he was an only child. He was never required to do anything so much as to take out the trash. His parents bought him a hot rod car, and they'd give him money all the time to spend. I mentioned him to you before. He's the one who died at 26 years old from alcohol-related illnesses. I remember one time he was at my farm and he was waiting on me to get done with my work. I was cleaning out flower beds for my mother and he was standing there leaning against the garage watching me work and my dad was working. And he said, "You know, you don't have to do this." My dad's head came around. I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "They have to feed you and put a roof over your head. You don't have to do all this." When it comes to raising children, there are a lot of different ideas and philosophies. Many psychologists and philosophers think they have the answers to the problems of rebellious and troublesome children. So how do we know what is right? How do we know how to raise our children? How do children know what's right and what is wrong? In verse 1 of our text, there's a clear command to children. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The word "obey" literally means to hear under. Children are to hear their parents, to heed what they say. And parents, as we see in verse 4, are to bring up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. There are many voices in our world, many people telling us what we need to do, whether it be telling children what they need to do or parents what they need to do. The question for each of us is, who will we trust? Who will we listen to? Who will we hear? Whose voice will we heed? This is a very important decision for each one of us and for our families and for our society at large. In Joshua 24:13, it says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a tremendous statement. A wise decision. The only way that we can know and understand what is right for each of us as individuals and for our families. We've looked in our past studies at the role of wives and the role of husbands. And today we're going to look at the dynamic in the family between parents and children and how they should live and act within their roles in order to bring glory to God, to be well, and to live long on the earth as God promises. It's a simple, straightforward text, so I'm going to give you three simple, straightforward points for our message today. First of all, God's Word is right. Second, God's Word says that children are to obey and honor their parents. And third, God's Word says that parents are to train their children up in the Lord in love. My brothers and sisters, there's a lot wrong in the world. There are many hurtful and hurting people. And the troubles that plague our society are generally rooted in the home. Children are disobedient. They're abusive and disrespectful to their families. So many in our culture and world do not honor and obey their parents, and they do not fear God. Turn over to Romans 1 with me, please. I want to just illustrate how seriously God takes this idea of children obeying their parents. Romans 1, verse 28. This is a familiar text to us. Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and look at this, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is a good summary of our society and world today as we look at it. Another passage is 2 Timothy 3:1, where Paul characterizes our society in these last days in which we live. He writes, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. These are the things that characterize perilous times. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. God takes very seriously the obedience of children. And He expects parents to command respect in their homes through loving admonition and training up in the Lord. But parents don't always love their children. They don't always teach them and train them up in the Lord because they do not know the Lord themselves. Some of the most tragic circumstances of our world involve abuse and neglect of children. My wife's been a school teacher for 18 years and she's had many heartaches in dealing with children and parents and the situations that they find themselves in. And before we moved up here from Indiana, she worked for the county in an abandoned, abused, and neglected children's home. The stories are extremely disturbing. We have many problems in our world concerning parents and children, from abuse and neglect to overindulgence and inattention, as well as disrespect and disobedience from children towards their parents. The sin that engulfs these relationships within the home is like a cancer eating away at our society. So what can we do? What is it that we can do as believers in Jesus Christ? Well, the answer lies in the quote we read from Joshua 24. And the truth that we must come to is that God's Word is right. This is true in all areas, from Genesis to Revelation. God always knows what is best. He is always interested in growing and sanctifying His children through His Word. God is a perfect Father. And He lovingly, graciously gave us this book that we might know the truth and how it is that we should live in the sphere of the family. 2 Timothy 3:13, Paul writing to Timothy said, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." What do we do in a world like this? Where evil men and imposters grow worse and worse. Just a simple, silly example of this in Sarah's homeschool curriculum yesterday we were looking. It says, what two things cause global warming is what they were getting at. And it showed a car with a little exhaust and a cow with a little exhaust. I thought, what an incredibly silly thing. And Sarah, 6, 7 years old, is supposed to figure that out. An evil world where everything is anti-God, anti-Christ, all the way up to the professors that now Caitlin's encountering at the University of Minnesota, trying to conform her mind to the thinking of the world. He says, what do we do in this world where evil men grow worse and worse? He says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Peter writes a similar thing in verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We all as believers affirm this truth. We give a hearty amen to the fact that this book we hold in our hands is God's Word. I think we all would agree to that. But sometimes we struggle to believe God, to trust Him. And this is a choice we must make. So applicable to raising children and children obeying their parents. For some, the idea of a six-day literal creation is a very hard thing to accept, because they have chosen to believe fallible, illogical men who call their work science. But if we honestly observe our world and the evidence that we find, it overwhelmingly supports what the Bible said. And Jesus said in John 5:46, if you don't believe the writings of Moses, then you can't believe my words. I was reading yesterday a quote from the new Pope. He said, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, then who am I to judge? It seems that even those who are called the leaders of the Christian world have trouble accepting what the Bible says. This kind of convoluted thinking of sinful men denies the very Christ who bought them. God in His Word says so clearly that homosexuality is an abomination and that those who practice such things will experience the wrath of God and will not see the kingdom of heaven. But there's so much pressure in our world for us to believe and go along with what they say. My friends, we shouldn't go along. We shouldn't compromise. We should love all men enough to tell them the truth concerning sin and judgment and the good news of Jesus Christ. that God became a man and He lived on this earth and He died for our sins in our place, was buried and rose again the third day. And that if any man will come to Him in simple faith, He will change that man and make him a new creation. I use these examples to illustrate the fact that we must be willing to accept what God says in His Word. We must understand that every part of God's Word is truth and the final authority. God's Word is right. Choose you this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will live according to what God says. We will choose to believe Him as we raise our children and as we as children obey and honor our parents. So what does God's Word say concerning the role of children in the family? And really, there's only one clear command for children concerning their relationship with their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. As we noted before, the wording literally means to hear under, to listen and place oneself willingly under the authority of our parents, to obey. And the word for children encompasses any child in the home or under the authority of the parents. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates that when you turn 18, you have some sort of special rights. If you're living in the home or under the authority of your parents, then this applies to you. Children, obey your parents. To honor means to estimate one's value and give respect and reverence due to someone because of their position or station in life. Wiest comments that obedience is the duty and honor is the disposition of which the obedience is born. We should have an attitude of honoring our parents, understanding their position over us and how what they want and what they know and what they're telling us is what's best for us, that they love us, and therefore we should obey them in what they say. Children are to respect and reverence their parents, knowing that their parents know what is best. You have been young. I have been young and old. Children, listen to your parents. They have something to teach you, and they love you, and they care for you. Children are to obey and honor their parents. This is very clear. And Paul adds that this is the first commandment that comes with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And this is a principle that is surely true if you think about it. It's not an absolute promise, but a principle that is true, much like the proverb that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A principle that is true. If a child is rebellious and disobedient and disrespectful and does not heed the instructions of his parents and God's Word, then he will find trouble, big trouble in this world. This ends in injury, illness, disease, an unhappy, unfulfilling, unfruitful, and short life on this earth. Conversely, if a child heeds the voice of his parents, seeks to honor them, and follows the Word of God, then he will find peace and joy in this world and will live a long life of fruit-bearing. It will go well with him. You know, as I've been thinking about parents and children, I want to illustrate the parallel between God and His relationship as Father to us and that of parents to children in their home. I think it teaches us a lot about this relationship. Our Father in heaven is the perfect Father. He loves us with an unconditional love demonstrated at the cross. He protects us and keeps us by His power. He works all things together for our good. He will complete the work He has begun in us and will bring us to heaven to live with Him forever. His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness, grace, and unfailing love toward us. Our Father is always working to accomplish good in our lives, to conform us to Jesus Christ. Yet He does have to discipline us. He does have to allow trials and troubles in our lives that we might learn to trust Him, to know and do what is right. Turn over to Hebrews 12. Let's look at a passage that teaches us about this, as well as fathers' relationships to their children. Hebrews 12:5. and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? It's a good question for us today. It's taken as a given here. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Children, when you're chastened, think about these principles and how your father loves you when he teaches you and chastens you. It says God chastens us as a loving father because he knows that obedience to his word is what is very best for us. We glory in our tribulations and we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope, and the hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. We know that through these trials and disciplines, God is training us, and that if we learn to trust and obey, then we will experience the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. God, our Father, is an example of earthly fathers and mothers as to how we should raise our children. And it is His Word that guides us, teaches us that we should teach our what we should teach our children. I think many of us, especially those who have exceeded the age of 40, are very troubled with where the world is taking our children. The values and morals being taught by our society and the way children are being conformed by the world is frightening. I know that every generation is skeptical of the next and worried that they won't amount to a hill of beans. But surely, we can see in our world today that our society has rejected God, that God is judging our world and our nation, and that the breakdown of the family and morality in our culture is producing a generation of children who do not fear the Lord, nor do they obey their parents or honor them. It seems our society at large believes children should have the life of ease. Parents should cater to their every whim and give them what they desire. The idea of teenagers being a separate class of people, I don't know if you know this, but this is a relatively new thing. As a matter of fact, the word teenager was first documented in a Reader's Digest article in 1941. It didn't even exist before then. Until very recent times, young adults carried a great deal of responsibility in the home. And certainly, biblically, there's no thought of children not having to work or contribute to the family or to serve and give themselves in service to the Lord. There's no concept of adolescence or teenage years in the Bible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." I was looking in a book the other day called Do Hard Things, and the subtitle is A Teenage Rebellion Against Low Expectations. In it, the author writes, Paul did not say, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but then I became a teenager, and I looked like an adult, and I sounded like an adult, but I still acted like a child." They continue, "When we let cultural expectations become our standard, we allow ourselves to be squeezed into a mold with little room for Christ-like character. We live in a culture that wants to tell us how to act, how to think, how to look, how to talk. It tells us what to wear, what to buy, and where to buy it. It tells us what to dream, what to value, and what to live for, and it is not Christ." We see 25 and 30-year-old children who have no desire to do or accomplish anything, and really no concept of self-discipline or honoring or obeying their parents or those who are in authority over them, such as a boss at work. My point is, friends, we need to teach our children every word that God has given to us, the principles and concepts that He has given to us for our good and for His glory. In this way, and only in this way, do we see the peaceable fruit of righteousness and confirmation to Christ in our children's lives. Well, we've seen that God's Word is right. That for children, obeying and honoring their parents is the right, the righteous thing to do. Let's consider verse 4 and Paul's instruction to parents. Ephesians 6:4, he says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." My friends, when I think about parenting my children, raising them up and training them, the word that comes to my mind is fear. Frankly, it frightens me to be a father. Don't get me wrong, I love being a father. I enjoy and love my children and find my greatest pleasures in, along with my wife, raising and growing our children God's way. But the gravity, the weight of being responsible for the growth and maturity of my children, for how they turn out as people, as wives, as Christians, it's a fearful thing to me. When I consider the world in which they live, the dangers and snares, the trials and troubles they will experience, it frightens me for my children, and I ask the Lord, what can I do? Sometimes I feel so helpless, like Caitlin gone to college. What can I do? I can pray. But really, I've done what I can do. He says there's only one thing we can do with our children as we bring them up. One way that yields fruit and peace and joy, and children that honor their parents and serve the Lord. That one thing is to teach and train them about Me, God says. To bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy 5:29, we see God's heart. He says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear Me and always keep all My commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." God's desire is that our hearts would be turned to the Lord, fearing Him, and therefore training our children in the Word, that it might be well with us and our children forever. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." First and foremost, we are to teach our children about our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." Listen to this. "But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever." There are those things, secret things, that the Lord has not revealed to us. Things that our minds cannot understand about the character and nature of God. For His ways are above our ways. He is God and we are not. But notice the second half of the verse. "Those things which He has revealed in this book belong to us and to our children forever." My brothers and sisters, those things that God has revealed to us in His Word, we are to study. We are to meditate on, to believe, to take for ourselves, and we are to teach them to our children. We are to teach them all the things of this book. We are to teach them about sin and judgment, about the practical things of life as we go along our way, always using life and circumstances to convey and apply the truth of God's Word. This is the primary role we have with our children. We are to teach them most of all about the goodness of God. We are to teach them about Jesus, who He is, and what He's done for us. You see, our children most of all need salvation. They are born sinners. Little lost sinners. This isn't hard to see. You never have to teach your toddler to be selfish with his toys, to smack his sister when she takes his truck. You don't have to teach them to disobey, to talk back, to sin. This comes quite naturally to our children. What we do have to teach them is that they are sinners, that they need a Savior, and that the only Savior is Jesus Christ. That He loves them so much. He loves each and every child so much that He came to earth to die in their place for their sins. That He was buried. that He rose again the third day. We need to teach them, tell them that if they believe Jesus and if they put their trust in Him, they'll be saved. You see, their good must be our primary goal in parenting. And their good, first of all, is salvation. It's so important that they understand sin and consequences. And that's why from the time that they're little, the Bible teaches us that parents are to teach God's law and His righteousness and explain to them that disobedience has consequences, painful consequences. Proverbs 22:15, you know this verse, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I was thinking about a story some missionary friends told us. They're working with native tribal people, and they talked about a child that couldn't even speak because in his home there were just two beds and two televisions where his mother and brother played video games in the dark all day long. Left to himself, he wasn't even able to speak. There's all kinds of horrible things happening in this world. Proverbs 23:13, I always tease my children that this is my favorite passage. It says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." My friends, there are many voices in our world, many ideas according to man's wisdom concerning raising children, all kinds of crazy things. But God makes it very clear and simple. We are to teach our children the truths and principles of God's Word, and when they violate those principles, when they disobey and sin against their parents and against God, we are to punish them physically so that they experience pain. They are to see from a very young age that sin has consequences. But notice that verse 4 of our text tells us not to provoke our children to wrath. We must be very careful how we discipline our children. We do not discipline them for the sake of punishing them. That's not how God deals with us as His children. God does not punish us, but chastens us in love for the purpose of growing and correcting us. It's always about moving children in the right direction and doing what's best for them. It's about loving them and training them in the admonition of the Lord. If we discipline our children in anger, if we are inconsistent, if we injure them or abuse them, then they will be provoked to wrath. Wiest comments that the word translated provoke means to arouse wrath by injustice or severity, exasperating our children. Rather, we are to bring them up, which means literally to nurture them to maturity. Surely we are to discipline our children when necessary. And this may end at a young age for some children. Other children may require additional physical discipline. But we must always remember that our primary goal is their good, their growth, and their maturity. This is no easy task, my brothers and sisters. I get an amen there. It's no easy task raising children. It takes a lot of prayer, a lot of patience, a lot of love. But it is our command as parents to consistently, continually train them up and love them, teaching them God's Word. And I might add here that our example to them is an important tool. We must lead by example, showing openly our dependence on and need for the Lord, seeking Him through His Word to know Him, to abide in Him, to obey Him ourselves. And we must show grace to our children as well as and love them as we love all people in our lives, even more. We can fall, and we can fail many times if our children see that our greatest passion is to know Jesus and that we need forgiveness and grace just as they do. They will forgive us for not being perfect if we know that we're not perfect. We need to spend time with our kids. We need to teach them about Jesus and His Word. We need to lead by example, taking every opportunity to speak well of Jesus and thank Him and praise Him. I was studying this and it reminded me of the many sunsets that I have observed with my children, starting with Caitlin and then Ashley and now Sarah. When we go outside in the evening, they'll often say, "Daddy, look at the sunset." So I always pick them up and give them a hug and I say, "Who made that sunset?" And their little girl voice, they say, "Jesus. Jesus made that sunset." My friends, the greatest joy we can have, as John said, is to see our children walking in the truth. Talk to them about Jesus all the time. Worldly riches and goods and fame bring no peace and joy. As much as we want our kids to have successful and good, comfortable lives, these things are of little importance compared to knowing Jesus and following Him. Being a child today in this world is a difficult and frightening thing, and being a parent in these last days will test us to the very core. But my friends, we are in this together. And God has a clear command for children and for parents. Seek the Lord Jesus. Study His Word. Know what is right and do what is right. Children, obey your parents and honor them. Word is right. And when it comes to children and parents and how we should live in our homes, we need to trust what God says and obey Him. Children, obey and honor your parents. Parents, nurture your children to maturity in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is God's way, and this is right. Let's close in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that You have revealed Your truth to us. We're thankful that You've saved us and that You empower us to live for You. And now that it can go well with our children, that they can be fruitful and bring glory to You, Lord, help us to be the parents that You have designed for us to be. Help us to point our children to Jesus and to just love Jesus and have them see that passion and need in our lives, Lord. And help children to obey their parents, to be unique in this world that's deteriorating so quickly. Help them to glorify You in all that they do, that they might be a witness, Lord. Help us in our families, in our homes, to love each other, to seek You, and to obey Your Word. In Jesus' name. Parents, bring up your children in the admonition of the Lord. Train them up. My friends, we are in the midst of an extremely practical part of the letter to the Ephesians. We have to remember that these applications that we are studying are based on the doctrine that we saw in the first part of the epistle. That God has planned our salvation since before the world began. That He brought it to pass in time in the person and work of Jesus. That having heard the gospel, the word, and believed, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Recreated, regenerated men with new hearts and new spirits. We have put off the old and put on the new man. And now God empowers us to live out who we are in Christ as Jesus Himself lives in us. This is how we as children can obey our parents and honor them. This is how we as parents can be patient and loving and train them and get them into the Word every day. These great truths form the foundation for how God is telling us to live within the relationships and the family. We must remember who we are, and we must look to Jesus and trust and abide in Him if we are to have victory in our lives and our relationships. But my friend, remember, this is God's intention and His expectation for us. Perhaps the most detrimental thing we can have for our children and for ourselves is low expectations. We need to know what God has said to be true about us that believe, and we need to believe Him and should expect by His power to live holy lives that bring glory to Him. This is a witness to the world. We should not be conformed by the world, my brothers and sisters, but we should be being transformed by the renewing of our minds to God's truth. And as Pastor said earlier, that's why we're here this morning, to learn what God says, to believe Him, because we believe that God's Word